Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our unison prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, as the Scriptures are read and the Word proclaimed, bear witness to the truth in our hearts and minds. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. Listen to God's word. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Maintain a good conscience, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is eight, lives were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Today's second scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join with me in the spirit of prayer. O Holy God, may my words this day be your words, and through the Spirit, may these words come alive in our lives. Oh God, thank you for this day. Amen. There's this scene in the show Glee that instantly came to mind as I was reading the Gospel of John passage for today. And for those of you who have never seen the show Glee, it is a show that was about a high school show choir. It was loud and it was dramatic, and often at times it was completely ridiculous. But underneath all the singing and all the chaos, The show was about a bunch of teenagers who were trying to figure out who they were and whether they belonged in this world. I will also say, following the 8:45 service, one of the youth came up to me and said, "Thank you for naming a show that we actually have seen." Now, the scene that came to mind was an interaction between two of the characters, Rachel and Kurt. Rachel was one of the big, at times overly dramatic, ambitious singers, and Kurt was one of the few openly gay students at the school, and a lot of his story was about what it felt like to be different. In one scene, a scene between Rachel and Kurt, Rachel finds out that Kurt has been excessively bullied. So she says to him, "You may be lonely, but you're not alone." In this tender moment, Rachel reminded Kurt that there are some parts of his life that she will not fully understand, but that she and the Glee Club will walk with him through every moment of life. Now, this phrase is not original to the show Glee. It is actually found in the lyrics of several songs, and I am sure that there is a greeting card or two out there with that same phrase. You may be lonely, but you're not alone. Now, there is a difference, and that's why this is important. Loneliness is a feeling, and it is a painful feeling. It can come over us even when we are surrounded by people, even when we are doing all the things that we are supposed to do and everything seems perfectly fine from the outside. We can feel lonely in a crowd, or at church, or at a family dinner. We can feel lonely in friendships, or even a marriage, a classroom, or a hospital room. But being alone, truly alone, is something deeper and even more painful. That is the fear that no one is coming or that no one is staying. It's the fear that no one sees us and all that we're carrying, or that no one will remain with us when life gets hard. Being alone, truly alone, makes us feel completely abandoned. And that is what the disciples were worried about as Jesus continued to allude to his coming death. They are so worried that Jesus will abandon them, and they are not quite sure what to do about it. This passage that we heard from the Gospel of John, this passage is found in the middle of what we call the farewell discourse, which takes place in chapters 13 through 17 in the Gospel. At the beginning of this conversation, as found in chapter 13, Jesus begins by washing his disciples' feet. He then tells them that one of them will betray him, and so Judas goes off into the night. He then tells Peter of his upcoming denials. And he does all of this because the cross and Jesus' death is near. And the disciples do not understand all of this, but they do know that something is wrong. And they are scared, and they are confused, and they are trying to imagine a life without Jesus beside them in the way that they have known. Even though he will soon physically be leaving them, Jesus reassures them by saying, "I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you." Jesus promises this. His presence is going to change, but it is not going to disappear. You may be lonely, but you're not alone. And this is not what Jesus says, but it is pretty close. You may be lonely, but you're not alone. The one who is going away is also the one who promises to come near so that we are never alone. Jesus then continues by talking about an advocate. And this word as advocate is the Greek word paraclete. And paraclete is one of those words that translators sometimes struggle with because there's not one easy definition for it. Paraclete means advocate or helper, counselor, comforter. In our Wednesday morning Bible study, someone even named that paraclete means defense attorney. All of these names, these different definitions of paraclete, are all trying to get at the same idea. The Spirit is the one who comes alongside. Now, the disciples, they are used to Jesus being the one who is beside them and leading them. They have walked with him in his life. They have eaten with him. They have listened to him. At times, they misunderstood him and they argued with him. They followed him and at times they failed him. But then they are gathered back in by him over and over and over. But now Jesus is telling them that the presence of God will not only be beside them, that the presence of God will be within them and among them by the Spirit, the Advocate. The Spirit continues the presence of Jesus in another way, so that the same love that they have come to know through Jesus and the same community that they have felt with Jesus will now abide with them through the Spirit. And that's true also for us. The Spirit is with and in us in every season, in joys and in celebrations and in grief and anger and confusion. We may feel lonely at times, but the Spirit never leaves us abandoned or alone. This passage also lifts up Jesus' commandments, and it does so twice. In the Gospel of John, Jesus has already told them what the commandments are in the same farewell discourse, in the same speech or conversation he is currently having. In just one chapter earlier, after washing the disciples' feet, Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another." And then in the next chapter, still in this same speech, Jesus continues by saying to the disciples again, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Sometimes we think of salvation as if it is mostly where we go once we die. But the Gospel of John shares that eternal life is not just about some future destination. But eternal life is knowing God and knowing the one whom God has sent. Eternal life is being drawn into the life of God, and because the life of God is love, salvation is abiding in that love and allowing the love of Christ to shape us. And that love is with us in every moment. Every moment, even when we make mistakes or when we feel like we have failed, when we sin, that love is still with us because that is grace. And for us, as part of our own Reformed tradition, our theology, that matters because grace always comes first with our relationship with God. God's love for us is not a reward for our obedience, but rather our obedience to love at its best is the fruit of God's love already at work within us. We do not love our way into belonging with Christ. We already belong to Christ. And by the Spirit, we learn how to love. The church, a community of disciples, is meant to be one of the places where people experience the love of Christ. The ways in which we welcome, forgive, serve, protect, challenge, and include, and accompany one another is how Christ's love becomes visible. Think of baptism, a visible sign of this great love. Baptism is about belonging to the risen Christ. It is a sign that we are held by a promise greater than anything in this life. We will not be orphaned, and we will never be abandoned. Baptism is one of the ways the church dares to proclaim that promise out loud. In baptism, we are proclaiming that Christ has claimed us, that the Spirit is at work with and within us, and that the church has the responsibility to embody that promise. That is why baptisms are never meant to be private. We're supposed to celebrate the sacrament in a community. Because when the church gathers around the water or the font, the church makes promises too. We promise to nurture one another, to teach the stories of Jesus, to pray and encourage and forgive, to walk with one another in every season of life. And if we believe that we have been claimed by the God who will never leave us orphaned, then we cannot become a community that makes others feel abandoned. We cannot pour water and speak of grace, then build a life together where people wonder if that grace actually includes them. We cannot say to a child, "You belong to God," and then teach them that that belonging depends on their identity or hiding the truest parts of themselves. And we cannot say to the lonely, "You are not alone," while leaving the work of companionship and community to someone else. The Word of God, the Word of God has been misused in ways that have made people feel smaller, feel more afraid, more ashamed, truly less beloved. But if the Spirit is truly our advocate, the one who comes alongside, then the Spirit will keep moving us toward people who need someone or someones to walk alongside them. That is part of what it means to live a Christ-like life. It is abiding in Christ so deeply that the love is embodied through us and beyond us. When someone wonders whether they are beloved or whether they belong, the church's calling is to become, however imperfectly, a living sign of that answer. We are called to live God's love in the way of Jesus Christ. We remind them that they are beloved and that they do belong. In our community of faith, and we're not alone in this, our community of faith has not mastered or overcome feelings of loneliness, fear, grief, doubt, or suffering. But we are a community who is learning again and again that none of those things get the last word. In a world where so many people feel disposable, alone, unseen, or afraid, the church, a community of disciples, is called to carry the promise of Jesus. No one will ever be abandoned. It's really that simple, this promise. No one should ever be forgotten or considered disposable. No one is beyond the reach of grace. Well, friends, we are beloved. And we may feel lonely at times, but we are not alone. Christ has never left us because the advocate abides with and in us. And the love that comes from the Spirit is a calling for us to share that same love with others. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.